You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I understand what Black Lives Matters, what they're attempting to do. I understand that. But at the same time, we need help to do our best to stop the gun violence in Chicago. The entire nation should be outraged when a 3-year-old is executed on the streets of Chicago and a 13-year-old young girl was killed on the west side of Chicago as well. And 2 young women were executed on the south side of Chicago last week.
June 26, 2020. The words of T.O. Hardeman, a black man who leads Violence Interrupters. He's the executive director. He is calling on Black Lives Matter. Why don't you start doing something? Do something inside our neighborhoods. He is acknowledging Black Lives Matter is all about the political sphere and political photo ops and opportunities when it comes to politics. See, they get a lot of coverage and a lot of support when they start focusing on police violence against blacks. And they would have you believe that every day cops are going out gunning down black citizens here and there for no reason whatsoever. Are there cases of unnecessary violence and, in fact, criminal acts by police against black Americans? Yes. And also against white and brown and yellow Americans. But you know where the biggest crime is for the black Americans? In some of the inner cities. And T.O. Hardeman is saying, enough of what you're trying to do regarding the police. Focus where we have a real death issue. He said, I've been there. I understand the need to rise up against police brutality and excessive force. I'm with that. But it makes no sense if we continue to stand up against a system, but we will not stand up in our own neighborhood. You're going to be hearing more from T.O. Hardeman over the next 2 hours because he's making it very clear what many of us are already accepted. And many in the black community know it as well. Sometimes they are afraid. They are afraid to speak out and be as direct as he is because they fear retaliation. In the meantime, another major black leader says, when it comes to Joe Biden for president, that gives me a lot of pause. And he's going to explain why he thinks Joe Biden is not a good candidate for black Americans in particular. And he's also estimating if President Trump can get 12% of the black vote this time around, he certainly wins the election. In 2016, Trump got 8% of the black vote. Remember how he went out and told them, look, what have the Democrats done for you? In all these decades, you've voted for them, you've been there with them, they come and pick you up, drive you to the polls on election day, take you back, drop you off, and say, see you the next time we're voting. And they don't do a damn thing for you. He said, why don't you vote for me? What do you got to lose? Give me a chance. And he quickly proved what he could do for them, lowering the black unemployment rate to the lowest in history. And, of course, COVID-19 has upset a lot of that. And here's another reason for those who might have a concern about Joe Biden. You know what he's now saying he would do if he's elected president? In an interview with a CBS affiliate in Pittsburgh, Joe Biden says, if I'm elected, I hope you're listening to this. He said, if I'm elected, we are going to insist, mandate everybody out in public wear a mask. We're going to use federal law to compel Americans to wear a mask in public if I'm elected president. Well, now, did that get him a lot of extra votes right then or lose him a lot of votes? In the meantime, the CDC says, you know, we have reports and belief that at least 20 million Americans have had coronavirus, 20 million. Well, the death count, even those in the hospitals, way down. We're going to get into the latest on that because we've got Andrew Cuomo, trying to lecture red states as to what they should be doing to make things better. Andrew Cuomo. And James Hurston's going to join us from Hollywood on what's happening in California with COVID-19 and all of this attempt to shut down our cities, rezone them, become autonomous zones, and get rid of cops. And what happens when you lose all of your cops? And one particular neighborhood in Minneapolis, they said, yeah, we want to get rid of the cops, and now they've got a problem. Who are they going to call now? Not Ghostbusters. A lot to cover over the next 2 hours, my friends. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I say to them all, look at the numbers. You played politics with this virus and you lost. You told the people of your state and you told the people of this country, White House, don't worry about it. Just open up, go about your business. This is all Democratic hyperbole. Oh, really? Now you see 27 states with the numbers going up, and they were in denial, and denial is not a life strategy.
The words of Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York, of course. And he believes he can sit there and lecture red states about how to deal with COVID-19. Yes, we're seeing an increase in some of the states that have been opening up. Texas, one of them. We're going to get to that in detail in a moment and explain why. But here, Governor Cuomo, when he says, and wants you to believe, and by his argument, that the Republicans are playing politics with COVID-19. And he's not. He's not. You know what he's trying to do? It's the shell game. A little bit of this, a little bit, moving around, and look further. Is it under this shell or is it over here? Now move to late. Nope, that's the wrong draw. I'll try it again. You know why? Because he's got his own issue. And we all know what it is, Governor. You've had 24,800 deaths in New York State. I'm thinking about when I look at those numbers, when I look at that, and the number of deaths that they've had in New York State, and what we've seen elsewhere across the nation, each and every life is critical. All right? Not going to deny that. We should never think less. But what we're also seeing is why and where some of it's happening. I said New York State. I meant just New York City. New York City has 17,000 deaths. 17,000 deaths in New York City. And in New York State, one in five of those deaths occurred in a nursing home. And why would that be? Well, that's because Governor Cuomo had made an order back in March to the nursing homes. You have to keep COVID-19 patients if you have them. And if they end up going to the hospital, when they're released, you have to take them back. It was a breeding ground for COVID-19, and a lot of folks died and staff infected. And, of course, the other day, the governor is blaming the Republicans for the deaths in his nursing homes. He tried blaming it on the CDC, then the Republicans, and then, of course, the latest was blaming it on the staff of the nursing homes, that the staff brought the COVID-19 in. He's not going to accept any responsibility. And yet he's going to tell red states like Texas, you don't know how to handle things. Well, he does get quick flashback from Lieutenant Governor Patrick in Texas, because in Texas, they're not going to listen to that kind of BS from a New York governor.
Well, first of all, Governor Cuomo is probably the biggest fraud who holds that position in the country. He had about 6,000 people die in nursing homes. We've had less than 1,000, and that's on top of the other people who have died in New York. He shortchanged the people in New York, and he cost people their lives. And how dare him come on and point his finger at any other governor in the state for what he did. He killed people in New York, and I'll say it clearly, because of his policies of shipping people in nursing homes.
That's exactly it. He was shipping folks into nursing homes that had COVID-19, telling the nursing homes, you got to take them. And he claimed, I'm following CDC guidelines. No, he wasn't. But he later said, I mean, his excuses are all over the map. He later said, when they were trying to pin him down, saying, well, the nursing homes could have said no, that we're not going to accept them. Governor, you issued an order that they had to. So you're saying they could ignore the order if they choose to? 6,000 plus dying in nursing homes in New York State. 6,000. And why are we seeing the spikes now in Texas in particular? Let's deal with Texas, just that red state. Governor Abbott is at this time beginning to put on pause some of the openings they had scheduled, and they're targeting primarily bars and some other locations like that, based, I guess, on what they're seeing with the numbers and the kind of folks that are showing up to be infected. But Lieutenant Governor Patrick points out something that we also know and is accepted around the nation, and even Governor Cuomo knows this. He's just hoping you don't know it. And that is because we're seeing more testing. We are finding more COVID cases.
We have seen a spike in cases. We expected that because we're now testing almost 35,000 a day. We're testing in more of our 254 counties than we were before. So we expected those numbers to go up. Our hospitalizations are up. But here's the good news. The good news is we're not seeing it translate to the ICU unit or into fatalities.
That's the key right there. So you're showing more infections because you're testing more. You're finding it more often. And they're not necessarily seeing them all in the ICU. We'll get to that in just a moment. I want to go back to something I said in the monologue a moment ago. The CDC. The CDC is now estimating that for every case that's been reported, there have been at least 10 other infections. In fact, the CDC says that at least 20 million Americans have had the virus and either didn't know it, didn't cause them much effect, or they treated it like a cold or the flu and they went on with their business. They're estimating, Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the CDC, that between 5 and 8% of the U.S. population has been exposed. Exposed. He does say that means about 90% have yet to be exposed, and they could be susceptible. But we also know already that many of those that end up getting COVID-19, it is not a life-threatening issue for them. You cannot ignore the fact that if you are severe elderly, I mean way beyond into your 80s and 90s, and certainly in a nursing home, or your health compromised with your age or even without your age, that you have health compromised issues, obesity, emphysema, asthma, that you might be more susceptible. That explains, of course, a great deal about why the black neighborhoods and black Americans are suffering some of the worst numbers, either because of lack of health care or poor health care or poor diet or being jammed together in some areas where they don't have the space that others would have, and certainly age. It's very possible you've had coronavirus. You didn't even think twice about it. Didn't, you know, might have felt a little nauseous one day, and the next day it wasn't there. Only if you're tested, you find out, and that's what some of the testing is beginning to show us. But let me give you some numbers again. We're talking about, in the U.S. right now, at last check, confirmed infection, 2.5 million. That's where they're saying that's 1 in 10 probably infected that don't show up. In other words, that's where they come up with at least 20 million Americans. Could be up to 30 million Americans have been infected. But officially, they have declared 2.5 million infected. The death rate, 126,000. That is a big number. We have not had any flu virus in any recent history that claimed more than 90 to 100 to 110,000. And they are predicting by October 1, we could see 180,000 deaths. That's overall. Now, let me give you some numbers between New York and Texas. Texas fatality rate. Out of every 100,000 in Texas, the fatality rate is 8 out of 100,000. Texas ranks 43rd out of the 50 states on the listing from worst to best, one being the worst, 50 being the best situation. 43rd. You know who is at the top? Governor Cuomo, do you want to answer this question? Governor Cuomo, are you listening? Who's number one in the nation when it comes to fatality rate in the states? Governor Cuomo, your answer is? No, it's not the Republicans. You got it wrong yet. Governor Cuomo, what state has a number one in fatality rates? No, it's not the nursing staff. Governor Cuomo, listen to the damn question. Oh, you know, but you don't want to discuss it, right? The number one fatality rate in the nation is New York State. Are you surprised? You know what their rate is? I told you Texas fatality rate is 8 out of 100,000, making it 43rd out of 50 states. New York, now first in all the states for fatality rate, 161 out of 100,000. Each and every death is a loss to a family. And it's not a laughing matter. The laughing matter is where somebody like Cuomo keeps dancing around and trying to make you look over there. Look over there, squirrel. Don't look where we are because you might find more issues. 161 out of 100,000 fatality rate in New York. Lieutenant Governor Patrick of Texas also has some additional viewpoints.
Here's the point. The numbers are high, but there's a lot to be very optimistic about. We're very concerned, being very careful, but to be very optimistic about, because these are mostly younger people who are in the hospitals for half the time that they were in March. They're getting out and they're healthy. They're not going to the ICU unit. And by the way, I want to straighten out some misinformation that's been all over the media in Texas and America. We are not out of ICU beds in Texas. We have 7,200 ICU beds available. Of those, we have 1,400 with COVID. 7,200 and 1,400.
Big difference, right? They're not out of beds, ICU units for COVID in Texas, despite the stories you'll get from the mainstream media. We saw the same hype when COVID-19 hit our shores. Remember everyone running around, we're going to run out of beds, we're going to need help. Remember New York governor even acknowledged we need help. And President Trump sent one of our hospital ships to be docked at New York. They were at least take care of patients other than COVID on board the hospital, so they would have the facilities open in the New York hospitals. The hospital ship was barely used. Another facility was set up in Central Park, barely used. And across the nation, we had numerous hospitals laying off staff and so forth. Because other surgeries and procedures had been shut down, because they were expecting this influx of many more to come, and they didn't materialize. We cannot ignore the threat, but you got to be realistic about it. And now we've got, as I mentioned in the monologue, former Vice President Joe Biden says, elect me, and I will mandate that you wear a mask. You will have to wear a mask. There's a new study out by the physics of fluids. I know, I've never read about it either, but I'm going to share what they have to say. They say even if you're wearing a mask and you're even standing more than 4 feet apart, you could still have the virus pass between those wearing a mask, even if 4 feet apart. For what it's worth, again, we're getting conflicting information. In the beginning, mask doesn't matter, don't bother, according to Dr. Fauci. Then later, yeah, you need the mask. And now Biden's saying everybody should wear a mask. I'll make it a mandatory if I'm elected. There's another reason you don't want to vote for the guy. Another reason is what's happening in our cities and the crime. Stand by for that part of the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Chicago's an example. It's like worse than Afghanistan. We have cities that are worse, in some cases far worse. Take a look at Detroit. Take a look at what's happening in Oakland. Take a look at what's happening in Baltimore. And everyone gets upset when I say it. They say, oh, is that a racist statement? It's not a racist. Frankly, black people come up to me, say, thank you. Thank you, sir, for saying it. They want help. These cities, it's like living in hell.
The words of President Trump in an interview on Sean Hannity last night. Violence in Chicago, Baltimore, other U.S. cities like living in hell. We have seen the crime ramp up in each of those cities. Part of it comes again from the left allowing, encouraging, and giving pass to those who want to destroy police departments, abolish them. And, of course, look at what happened in Seattle. Question, have they shut down the CHOP, the Capitol Hill occupied protest zone? Have they shut it down yet? Well, here's the latest. A de facto leader, because there's no real leader, a de facto leader says, well, a lot of people have already left because the mayor said she was going to persuade people to leave. In other words, the mayor was just saying, hey, I want you to kind of move on. Can you do that for me? So they're saying a lot have left, but that means not everyone has left. In other words, they are still in there. And they may not be ready to go. Now, the mayor said on Monday, it's time for people to go home. Oh, she was willing to put up with it all through the summer, a summer of love fest, remember? Until the violence broke out last weekend. And, of course, there's no doubt about the violence and what happened. We knew it was going to happen anyway. Let me give you what's happening in a Minneapolis neighborhood. This Minneapolis neighborhood, Powderhorn Park, has pledged, we will not call police in the death of George Floyd. In the wake of his death, we will no longer call police to do anything in our neighborhood. Residents say, we will check our privilege and protect people of color, not bringing in police. Well, you know what's happening. Some 300 homeless have begun to camp in a local park in that same neighborhood. 300 drug dealers meeting a lot of their clientele that's been displaced during the civil unrest and rioting and looting, showing up inside the park, already at least one person overdosing. Prostitution in the area. Another resident said, I regretted calling 911 when two black teenagers cornered me a block from my home, held a gun to my chest, demanding my car keys. He said, I handed over the house keys and they left him only to steal another car a few blocks away. He said, I shouldn't have called police on those boys because I put them in danger. You were willing to give them your house key, your car key, you don't want to call, and you got 300 camping out in a local park, drug dealers building their reputation in that park. This is lunacy of the left. There might be some people inside that neighborhood who don't want to go that direction. Do they dare speak out right now? Probably not. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, a man who says, I'm not sure Biden's right for black Americans.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There are a couple of things about Vice President Biden that gives me personally a lot of pause about his true belief in African Americans having a equal seat at the table in the Democrat Party.
The words of the black entertainment television founder, Robert Johnson. He's saying Dems have been taking black voters for granted and Joe Biden being among them. And he said, reference Joe Biden in particular, he gives me pause to consider, is he really for us? And the other part of that that he didn't say is, or is he just trying to sell us on dreams that he never plans to deliver anyway? Why is it all of a sudden that Biden and all the Democrats know exactly what to do and help the black community? Suddenly they know. They didn't know prior to 2016 when Trump was running. They didn't know for 8 years when Obama and Biden were in the White House. How many folks did they lift out of poverty during that period of time? What did they do about the black unemployment rate? Oh, they got the black votes. They knew they would. They knew they would. However, when Trump again offered saying, look, what have they done for you? Give me a chance. What do you got to lose? What many ended up losing was depressed economy for their family, losing the fact that they had to live on welfare because now they had jobs. As a black unemployment rate dropped to record lows, not under Democrats, and in particular Obama, the first black president. No, Bill Clinton, you were not the first black president. Obama was. But they dropped under Trump. And the reform, prison reform, benefiting mostly blacks in prison, also under Trump, not the Democrats. But Joe Biden was part of that Obama administration. And now he's saying, oh, I know what to do. And do you remember Joe Biden on the Charlemagne the La God program, where he kind of made a remark about, if you don't vote for me, then you're not really black. Do you remember that? Let me take you back to that on May 22nd.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
The NAACP has not endorsed Joe Biden at any point because they don't endorse anyone. So that's a flat lie. Second point, you were in office with Obama for 8 years. What did you do for them? I want to take a look at your record. What's in your record that shows you did anything for black Americans? But that response that if you can't decide if you're going to vote between me or Trump, then you ain't black. Telling a black man you're not black if you don't think you should vote for me. Charlemagne Le God did not really jump on that day. I can't explain why. He wanted to go back into, well, I'm talking about what can you do for the neighborhoods. Had nothing to do with Trump, he said. But what Biden said became a big deal. And the next day, Charlemagne Le God admitted, yeah, that Biden was out of line with that. So the founder of Black Entertainment Network, Robert Johnson, that particular interview and how Biden handled himself in that interview. And remember, Biden later said, hey, you know, he's kind of being wise with me, and I was just kind of being a wise guy back. And the closest Biden came to an apology was, I was trying to be a wise horse, and I shouldn't have done that. That answer still does not satisfy Black Entertainment founder Robert Johnson.
Now, whether he was, as he said, trying to be a wise guy or whatever, but if you've been supposedly hanging out with black people, you were 8 years Obama's vice president, you don't think like that. There's something in you that tells you, I can't be halfway wise guy, halfway cute by telling a black man, and by extension, every black person listening, that if you even think about voting for somebody other than me, and then to use the so-called colloquial expression, you ain't black, that's the biggest turnoff I've heard from a politician in a long time.
Wow. The biggest turnoff I've heard from a politician in a long time. Again, that's Robert Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television, which he later sold to Viacom. He became America's first black billionaire. I pointed out his history yesterday because we used some extensive interviews from him yesterday, and I'll play a part of it in just a moment, pointing out that he was raised, or rather born in Mississippi. Then later, while he was a kid, his family, I think 3 years old, they moved to Illinois. He ended up getting high honors in high school, went on and got 2 degrees. His color did not hold him back. He was one of 9 children, I think. His mom was a school teacher. His father was a farmer. And he became our nation's first black billionaire. So when he speaks, he knows, don't be pandering to us because of race. Yesterday, I ran a clip of Robert Johnson talking about how so many white people think they know what's best for blacks, and that would include Joe Biden, as you were just hearing him say, I have a real problem with it. Here's what Johnson said in a clip we ran for you yesterday.
White Americans seem to think that if they just do sort of emotionally or drastic things, that black people are going to say, oh, my God, white people love us because they took down a statue of Stonewall Jackson. And so to me, it falls into that an attempt by white America to assuage guilt, things that make them feel good.
That make them feel good. Didn't do anything for the black people. And also yesterday, Johnson said, when it comes to tearing down these statues, what has tearing down a statue done to anybody in the black community regarding getting them off welfare, getting them a job? And do you remember some years ago, I want to say actually, you know, I want to say 3+ years ago in Chicago, they were already talking about tearing down some statues in one part of Chicago, mostly populated by black Americans. And there were blacks then saying, I don't care, that statue has never done a thing to me, hasn't hurt me, hasn't discriminated against me. But they think if we tear it down, we'll get some black votes. Johnson said yesterday, he said, in my view, most of the blacks I know, they watch white people tear down those statues and they're laughing at them. And here's what the founder of BET had to say when it comes to voting and white Dems and blacks.
It just shows me that he thinks he's so immersed in the black relationship that he could be flippant when talking to black people. And that is one thing I dislike second only to patronizing of black people.
And as he said, that remark by Joe Biden, that if you haven't decided to vote for me, then you're not black. He tells a black man that you're not black if you don't vote for me. Well, not every black American is going to vote for Biden. Maybe more this time around will vote for Trump. We don't know, but they're making their own decision. They are smart enough, Democrats. They don't need you to lead them around. They can figure it out themselves. That's what Johnson is saying and others. We don't need Joe Biden to tell us how we should be voting to prove we are black. But that's what the Democrats have been building on for generations, generations. And look where we are now. Look at the blue states and blue cities. If they're run by a Democrat governor, legislature, city council, mayor, they are among the worst cities and states when it comes to crime, and particularly black-on-black crime, because they're not doing what they need to do. And they've had all this time to do so. Obama had 8 years. What did he do? And now that he's been out of office, what has he done for the black communities since then? Well, maybe I should call him up at his $8+ million property in Martha's Vineyard and say, what are you doing right now for black Americans? And many were expecting he was going to do a lot in those 8 years, and certainly when he was out. He basically said, I got other things to do. Oh, you want another reason not to vote for Joe Biden? Are you concerned about cancer? Do you support anybody that's trying to raise money for cancer research? The Washington Free Beacon just reporting yesterday, the Biden Cancer Initiative directed 65% of the money it brought in to staff compensation, raising almost $5 million in 2 years, spending more than $3 million on salaries and benefits for the staff. 2/3 of the money on staff. There was a little left over for research. We'll take a break when we come back, making D.C. a state. Stand by, please.
Over. is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I hope you love the Star Spangled Banner. I do. And I'll explain why you need to possibly be concerned about it before we wrap up today. You think they won't take down still something else to change this country? I'll focus on that in the next hour. So we have the District of Columbia statehood bill that's now going up before Congress. They are getting ready to vote on it. This is to give District of Columbia its own statehood. They will be voting. This will be the second time the House has voted on such a measure in nearly 230 years since the D.C. district was established. The last time they got this far was in 93. And now they say in the current climate, because of the coronavirus crisis, what's that have to do with statehood? And the reexamination of America's history, the wake of George Floyd, death of George Floyd, what's that got to do with statehood? Democrats are saying this is a time to do it, where they're talking about they think they've got political capital to spend so they can make it happen. That's what they're doing. House H.R. 51, House Resolution 51, and a lot of the supporting Democrats in the House are wearing masks, coronavirus masks, with the number 51 printed on it. It would give the D.C. mayor, currently Muriel Bowser, the governor and the city council then would act as a legislative assembly. It would give D.C. two senators, one House member. And Nancy Pelosi says D.C. statehood would be right, and it would correct a grave injustice. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Democrat, said there are 226 co-sponsors for this. It's the civil rights issue of our country. And he added, we say that black lives matter. For too long, black lives have not mattered. 46% of the district residents are black Americans. They are, of course, worried that Republicans will veto the legislation. But they're going to push forward. President Trump, in a recent interview with New York Post, claimed that Democrats support D.C. statehood, and this is absolutely right. Because the district is largely Democratic, which means the Democrat Party would automatically gain seats in both the House and the Senate. That's what they're trying to do. It has nothing to do with correcting a grave injustice. I'm telling you that this is only the second time they've even tried to push it through. Only the second time in 230 years. If it was such a grave injustice, why did it take the Democrats this long? When they held votes controlling the House and the Senate, why did they not do it then? It wasn't politically expedient. It didn't get them the political photo ops that they're after now. Now they say, look at us. Look at what we're accomplishing. You're going to try. And it's the nasty Republicans that will prevent the District of Columbia from becoming a state. Again, they're going to get two seats in the Senate. I know most of this audience knows how we select seats from each state for the House and the Senate. The House is based on, of course, the census each time as to drawing districts, how many districts you get based on your state and its size. D.C. so small they would get one member in the House, only one. But every state gets two senators. And so D.C. would have two more Democrat senators. This is Pride Month. I made it clear to you numerous times that I do have several gay friends. I don't know that I've got any transgender friends, but I have several gay friends, men and women. It's their lifestyle, not mine. I'm not passing judgment on them. I know what the Bible says, and I also know the Bible says God is a God of grace and mercy. So that's between them and God. I have enough trouble making myself right with God. But while I will say that I don't care really about their lifestyle, it's between them, I do have to have concern as to how it's affecting some parts of our nation, especially the young, the very vulnerable. And Calvin Klein has just launched a major billboard for Pride Month, featuring the first, as they call, Jerry Jones, and she calls herself trans queer lesbian. Now on billboards across New York City. Calvin Klein. As somebody who sent this to me said, once I've seen this, I can't unsee it. Well, again, that's your personal preference. I'm not passing the judgment. You make the decision. Coming up, Black Lives Matter ignoring the real crime in their own communities. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.